When you look at a standard price candle, you're really only seeing the aftermath of a conflict.
Yeah, just the outcome.
Right. You get the open, the high, the low, the close.
Yeah.
And, you know, it tells you exactly what happened over a specific time frame.
Yeah.
But it tells you absolutely nothing about the actual mechanics of how it happened.
Well, it completely hides who was throwing the heavy punches. And more importantly, how much capital they had to burn just to hold their ground. Like, a regular candlestick chart is, I mean, it's effectively two-dimensional. It's yeah. just an incomplete record of market reality.
Which is exactly why watching the order flow, specifically cumulative volume delta or CVD, fundamentally changes how you read the tape.
Absolutely.
Today, looking across the mechanics of the order book, raw trading data, and platform architectures, we're going to break down why retail traders constantly get trapped at the highs and lows.
Right. And how to actually read what the institutional algorithms are doing.
Let's ground this with a precise definition first. So CVD is the running sum of delta over a given period. It's the mathematical difference between aggressive market buys, those are the orders crossing the spread to hit the ask, and aggressive market sells.
The ones crossing the spread to hit the bid.
Exactly. Volume cannot be faked. It is objective.
It is the most objective metric you have when you're watching the tape. But to understand why it works, you have to distinguish between aggressive and passive liquidity.
Right. The limit orders versus market orders.
Exactly. Passive limit orders sit in the book and they form the walls. They provide the liquidity. CVD strictly tracks the aggressive money that's taking that liquidity.
It isolates the participants who are demanding immediate execution.
Right. Because only aggressive orders, which are market orders and stop orders, have the actual capacity to move price.
So if price action is the speedometer on your dashboard showing how fast the car is moving, CVD is basically the RPM gauge. It shows exactly how hard the engine is revving.
That's a great way to put it.
You can floor the accelerator, meaning like aggressive market orders are pouring in. But if you're driving up a vertical wall of limit orders, the car is not going to accelerate. The engine will just redline.
The mechanics at the spread dictate everything we see on that gauge. When you hit buy at market, you are an aggressive participant. You are actively taking liquidity out of the market.
You're matched with a passive participant who has a limit order resting on the ask.
Right. And because you initiated the trade by crossing the spread, CVD records that as a positive delta pick. Conversely, if you hit sell at market, you're hitting the bid matching with a passive buyer.
So that prints a negative delta tick.
Exactly. And over the course of a session, we accumulate these ticks into the CVD line. But the key here is CVD does not predict the future.
Right.
It purely and strictly measures current order flow intensity.
But if CVD measures that aggressive engine revving, what happens when you hear the engine redlining? But you look out the window and the car is just stuck in place.
It's a classic trap.
Yeah. You see 1,000 contracts hit the bid on the NQ tape. The CVD line is just plummeting, but the price of the NASDAQ hasn't moved down a single tick. I mean, who is eating all those market sells?
Think about the tape right after a major macroeconomic data release, like a CPI print or an FOMC rate decision.
Oh, yeah. Total chaos.
Right. The market goes wild and then it settles into a tight rotation near a key support level. To the naked eye, if you're just looking at a basic 5-minute candlestick chart, price is just range bound.
It looks indecisive, just chopping around.
But underneath the hood, the CVD disconnect is glaring. While price is flat, the CVD line is aggressively sloping downward, printing lower lows with every rotation.
A massive wave of market sells is just pouring into the order book.
Right. And when you are watching the tape and you see this relentless wave of market sells, but the price of the ES refuses to drop even a single tick, you have to ask yourself what is mechanically happening.
Those aggressive sellers are walking blindly into a trap.
Exactly. They're smashing the bid, assuming that sheer volume and momentum will break the support level. But they are feeding directly into a dam.
A large passive buyer is absorbing the pressure of that flood.
Yeah, the limit orders are acting as an unbreakable wall. An institutional participant who's likely accumulating a massive position is soaking up all that aggressive sell flow without letting the price drop.
And the consequence is severe for the retail traders who just initiated those short positions. Because price refuses to drop, those aggressive sellers are instantly underwater.
They are completely trapped.
The passive institutional buyer accumulating that massive long position has effectively locked them in. and the psychological pressure there is immense.
Well, absolutely.
You hit market sell, you expect immediate gratification, but the market just absorbs you. And where do all those newly trapped short sellers place their stop losses? Usually right above the most recent swing high.
Which sets up the explosive squeeze? When the passive buyer has accumulated their full line and finally steps off the bid, or, you know, when a sudden wave of aggressive buyers steps in, the market starts to tick up.
And the moment it kicks above that local swing high, it triggers the resting buy stop orders of all those trapped shorts. Because mechanically, a stop loss on a short position is a market buy order.
Exactly. And since the order book is usually thin just above a swing high, all those forced market buys instantly sweep the ask,
fueling just an incredibly fast vertical spike in price.
This sequence is highly predictable because it's driven by forced liquidations.
Yeah.
Those participants are not buying because they think the market is bullish.
Right. They're buying because their risk management algorithms are forcing them to cover.
Yes. And CVD allowed you to see the accumulation of those underwater shorts long before the squeeze actually materialized.
So that scenario where CVD is pushing aggressively lower but price stays completely flat is essentially a hidden divergence. It represents absorption.
Correct.
But that looks very different from a market that is genuinely running out of steam.
The distinction between hidden absorption and classic exhaustion is vital. Let's look at the classic exhaustion divergence. In this setup, price pushes to a new extreme, like a new high of the day on the ES, for example.
Okay.
But when you look at the CVD line, it fails to make a corresponding higher high. It lags. The aggressive push that drove the previous legs up is just no longer there.
Wait, so if I'm watching the ES push to a new high of the day, but CVD is lagging, my gut instinct as a retail trader might be to just hit market sell right there and fade it. Are you saying that's a trap?
Fading a divergence mid-trend without structural confluence is incredibly dangerous.
Why?
Because a divergence mid-trend simply means the aggressive follow-through is fading momentarily. The market is taking a breath. It might just be drifting higher on low volume as passive limit sellers pull their offers.
Ah, so they're just getting out of the way.
Exactly. To be a valid, actionable signal, a classic exhaustion divergence must occur at a key structural level.
We're talking about major liquidity zones here. Let's break those down. You need to see this happen at a critical VAH or VL value area, high or low, which marks the boundaries where 70% of the historical volume was traded.
Right. Or at the POC, the point of control, representing the single price level with the highest traded volume.
Or perhaps the VWAP, the volume-weighted average price, which is the baseline institutional algorithms use to gauge whether they are getting a fair price.
Exactly. If there is no higher time frame level anchoring that move, a standalone divergence means very little.
And to validate that level, you have to look inside the candlestick using a footprint chart.
Yes. A standard candle just shows you the high and low. But a footprint chart splits that candle open. It shows you exactly how much volume was traded at the bid and the ask at every single price tick.
So you want to see heavy volume traded at the absolute extreme of the wick paired with an immediate price rejection.
Right. If the NQ pushes to a new high, you need to see the footprint light up with hundreds of contracts of trapped delta at the very top tick.
Proving mathematically that those late aggressive buyers were completely stonewalled by passive limit sellers before the price reversed.
Exactly. But there is also a massive technical flaw traders run into when tracking these divergences. And it comes down to how charting platforms actually calculate the data.
Oh, the reset point.
Yes.
Yeah.
CVD is a cumulative sum, which means it strictly requires a zero point, a reset point.
Typically, this reset happens at the start of the session.
Yeah.
The trap occurs when traders compare pivot against pivot across different sessions.
Right.
Like if you're looking at a CVD chart that spans across the overnight reset, say comparing today's CVD peak to yesterday's CVD peak, you're basically looking at a calculation artifact.
It is completely meaningless. You cannot draw a trend line across a daily reset on a cumulative indicator and call it a structural divergence.
Yeah, you're essentially comparing the aggressive flow of today against a completely different inventory cycle from yesterday. It doesn't make any sense.
You must compare the aggressive flow of today against the structural pivots of today. Now, some traders use an unreset continuous volume delta to avoid this.
But that comes with its own issues, right? Like the long-term drift.
Exactly. The delta line just continuously bleeds in one direction over months. Yeah. Sticking to session resets gives you the exact localized context of the current day's inventory.
When traders misunderstand that reset artifact, I think it reveals a broader issue. The temptation to treat CVD like a magical oscillator.
Oh, absolutely.
You throw the indicator on your chart, and suddenly every little dip looks like a short signal, which leads to one of the most fatal mistakes in order flow trading entering blindly during a mid-rotation chop.
Yeah, in a sideways overlapping market, CVD will often start trending heavily in one direction while price goes absolutely nowhere. A beginner will see CVD falling through the floor and immediately hit market sell,
assuming a massive breakdown is imminent. But the structural flaw there is just so obvious. If you enter a short in the middle of a tight 10-tick rotation on the ES, where do you even put your stop loss? You are just guessing.
You really are.
Any stop you place above a micro pivot is just resting liquidity waiting to be swept by a random algorithm.
Without market structure, like a confirmed break of the range or a stop run that clears the local liquidity, a mid-rotation entry based solely on CVD is gambling.
You must wait for the price structure to validate the order flow.
Exactly. If CVD is falling heavily in a rotation, you let price actually break the lower boundary, retest it, and then look for the delta to confirm the continuation. Order flow confirms market structure. It does not replace it.
And, you know, when traders get obsessed with finding that hidden institutional player who's absorbing those orders, they often fall into another psychological trap.
The identity trap.
Yeah. They start speculating on the identity. They see massive absorption on the tape and start weaving narratives like, is this a central bank? Is it a massive options hedger neutralizing GEX?
The identity of the entity placing the limit orders does not change the physics of the order book.
Right.
When you see 1,000 lots absorbed at a key level, you trade the mechanical reaction to that absorption. The market doesn't care if it's a hedge fund or a commercial hedger.
Wasting mental energy on narratives distracts you from executing your risk management.
And that distraction almost always leads to overtrading. When you lose sight of the broader structure, you start zooming into the one-minute chart, hunting for any micro divergence you can find.
Yeah, and if you don't have confluence, if you aren't at a major level like a zero DTE options level, you are just churning your account on market noise.
And that market noise is compounded exponentially by platform and data feed inconsistencies. This is perhaps the least understood trap.
This is huge.
CVD can look remarkably different depending on the platform you use and the specific data feed routing into it.
Let's break down exactly why that happens, because this trips up so many people.
Yeah.
So top-tier data feeds use the strict bid-ask method. They classify every single trade based on whether it executed against the resting bid or the resting ask, giving you a mathematically pure delta.
However, many standard retail feeds lack that historical tick-by-tick bid-ask data. Instead, they use the uptick-downtick rule.
Okay, explain that rule.
The algorithm simply looks at the last traded price. If the new trade executes at a higher price than the previous trade, the algorithm assumes it was an aggressive buyer. If it executes at a lower price, it assumes an aggressive seller.
But why does that estimation fail so badly in high volatility environments, like especially when you're trading something as fast as the NQ or the CL?
It breaks down completely because of latency and the way massive orders are processed. Imagine a large institutional participant sends a sweeping market buy order for 500 contracts.
Okay.
That order does not execute as one neat single block. It sweeps the book, it gets broken down and matched against hundreds of different limit orders, resting across 3 or 4 different price levels in a matter of milliseconds.
Right.
An uptick, downtick algorithm processing that burst of data in a high latency environment gets easily confused. If a few micro executions happen to print out of order due to network latency, the algorithm might misclassify massive chunks of that aggressive sweeping buy order as aggressive sell orders.
Oh, wow. So it completely warps the CVD line on your chart.
Completely.
So if your platform resets CVD at midnight and uses an uptick downtick estimation, while another trader's platform resets at the 9:30 a.m. regular trading hours open and uses pure bid-ask data, your charts will show completely different relative levels of delta.
Exactly. The rule is strictly this. You must compare like with like. Stick to one consistent reset, secure a direct, high-quality data feed, and learn how that specific feed behaves. Do not platform hop looking for the perfect divergence.
Understanding the underlying mechanics of your data feed fundamentally shifts how you use the tool. It goes from being like crystal ball that you think predicts the future to being a highly specific diagnostic instrument that simply measures current pressure at a specific location.
Right. If you are actively day trading, NQ, ES, or CL, the core philosophy is that CVD does not dictate where the market will go.
No.
It tells you the objective story of the session right now. It highlights who is attacking the spread, who is trapped in a bad position, and who is actively bleeding capital.
That is the golden rule you must adhere to. Never trade the CVD line alone. You always use it to confirm entries based on established market structure.
Yes.
You let the structure define the location, you let the footprint define the exact execution timing, and you let CVD define the context of the aggression.
And for those of you actively watching the tape, proper visualization is critical. The Motive Wave CVD study provides this natively. It is completely free, and instead of a single jagged line, it draws CVD as actual OHLC candles.
Which is incredibly helpful.
It really is. This allows you to see the open, high, low, and close of the delta within each period. It automatically detects both live, unconfirmed divergences and confirmed divergences, and it supports custom session resets. You can find that tool, along with deeper context on footprint charts and GECs, at wicketflow.com.
Seeing the delta inside a candle format definitely changes how you process the momentum. But I want to leave you with a final mechanical reality to ponder as you watch the order book tomorrow.
Go for it.
We know the traps. We know how to spot the divergence. But if massive institutional algorithms are fully aware that thousands of retail traders are now staring at CVD to spot these exact exhaustion and absorption traps, how might those highly capitalized players begin aggressively spoofing market orders just to paint a fake divergence on your screen, solely to trigger your exact stop loss?